Because when you're in the bunker and you're in the trenches and the bullets are flying overhead and the bombs are crashing beside you and you're sitting there, you feel hopeless, you're exhausted, you don't think you can go on, you wonder if you're going to die in this moment, but then you are holding your spiritual weapon and you look beside you each way and you see there's men and women beside you who are there with you, and that's a good feeling. You're just like, oh, I'm not alone. Look at this. There's people. In fact, there's hundreds of people in this trench as the bullets are, and some are getting up and rushing right into the battle to use their spiritual weapon against those who are coming in. So that is an awesome encouragement. That is the body of Christ. That is what Paul is describing right here when he says, my fellow soldier.
Hello and welcome to Live in the Light, and thank you so much for joining us today. Maybe you're listening to this program as part of your daily routine, or maybe you just happen to find us today. Hey, whatever the case is for you, we are sincerely glad that you're here today, and we believe by faith that you are not here by accident. Live in the Light is a radio ministry designed, and we pray prayerfully seeking that the Lord would use the truth of His Word to change your lives for the better in an amazing way. Well, today's teaching takes us to the end of Philippians chapter 2. We're in the middle of a series called Citizens of Heaven, and looking at what it truly looks like to lead and to serve the Lord from places of humility and sincerity, sacrifice, service, even great difficulty. Today's passage ends in a clear call to honor servants like these. So even before we begin today, we want to encourage you to keep that application in mind and ask yourself the question throughout today's teaching, who are the people in my life that are servants of the gospel that I can honor this week? Pastor Robbie explains more with today's teaching.
He's a servant of the gospel. Look at verse 22 now. Verse 22, but you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the father. Listen to Paul's language here. I mean, this isn't some kind of light relationship. As a son with a father, notice again, here's the purpose. He has served me in the gospel. That's it. That's it right there. Paul loves Timothy so much because they're about the greatest purpose ever. Jesus. The gospel of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the love of Jesus. That's why he's so excited about this. So you see is my inability to not alliterate with S's and stuff, but there's a couple of more S's that I restrained myself from pointing out to you, at least on the screen, but now I'll do it audibly. Notice his proven worth. Worth could equal his significance. Notice the S right in the text, as a son with a father. You know what's significant behind that phrase, proven worth? That carries the meaning of proving yourself through suffering. It means Timothy has proven himself by persevering through difficulty and hardship and heartache. He's still there. 2 Timothy 1, Paul says, Timothy, do not be afraid, but be bold in power and love and self-control. And here's Timothy, and he's still going, being used of the Lord. In this case, then Paul, by the Lord, says he's worthy of honor. What a beautiful passage of honoring Timothy, implying his loyalty and his humility. So, loved ones, you think about, you know, every powerful biography that's written. And so often these powerful biographies are men and women who have proven their worth by persevering and suffering in different forms for the gospel. What is that? It's Philippians chapter 2, 19 to 30. That's what's happening there. And it encourages us so much. We find ourselves built up as we look at the example of others before us. And then we say, oh God, would you do that in us too, as they are used to hold up Christ, that we might be used to hold up Christ as well. Timothy, an example of service for the gospel. And again, we know this church, this whole church, is about Jesus Christ. And also within the example of our text today in Scripture, we're learning right here, it is right at times to honor those who honor Christ. It is right. It's undeniable. It's before us right now. But again, I want you to see, I'll say it again, Timothy, a servant of the gospel, Epaphroditus, we will see, giving his life, almost dying for the work of Christ. Those who love Christ, we love to encourage to continue to love Christ. Now, question, who can you honor in this next season? Who in your life, and I think of the hundreds and hundreds of beautiful saints in this church. Sinners, yes, yes, we are, but saints as well. Let me ask you, who can you choose to honor? A servant of the gospel? I mean, maybe you're walking by Harvest Kids and don't you know, harvest workers, we call them, workers for the gospel, working with our children. Maybe it's someone, you, one of your small group leaders. Maybe it's someone who's just cared for you and prayed for you and come alongside you when you were so discouraged. Maybe it's someone who's been there to meet your need at the time when you're just so thankful for that. There's so many opportunities to apply this. And the Bible also says that we're to outdo one another in showing honor. It's almost like a wonderful holy competition. I'm asking you again, who can you be used by? Not maybe just for a moment, we're not saying, okay, who's going to come talk to me? No, that's not the attitude. Who can I be used to bless and to encourage? And if you're like me, like you know, one of the greatest feelings you have is when you're filled with God's Spirit. It's amazing when you're filled with God's Spirit, you're so not inclined to care about self. When you're filled with God's Spirit, you come up and you are able and given the ability to breathe life into people around you. There are a few feelings I love more, man. When God's Spirit gives me the strength and energy to do so, to come alongside and to look at someone and just with all the faith I have and to say, you are such a blessing in the church of Jesus Christ. You have been so used in so ways and to identify the ways that they're using. That is so of the Lord. That is so what the Lord wants us to do. You're not praising a person. You're praising for Jesus Christ in that person. And you imagine if each one of us took the opportunity to do that on an increasing basis and we came into places like this and we were filled with God's Spirit and we were looking for the opportunities and God would lead us and we would breathe life into other those around us. Wow, man, that is a place I want to hang out in. And this is what God wants to do. Why? Because we're all encouraging one another as we love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not making much of a man or woman. It's making much of Jesus Christ that the man or woman wants to love and continue to be used. This is what Paul's doing here right now. It's such a good feeling. God, help us to know it more. Help us to know it more. Put us in a place, Lord, we are attached to the vine. And then we bear the fruit of God's Spirit, just as Paul is here in prison, but being such a blessing. You think Timothy's reading this and he's seeing this letter, what Paul says, and he's sitting there he's reading this and he's feeling life. And he's just like, the Lord's using that. I think Epaphroditus would see it as Epaphroditus probably reading this letter to the church in Philippi, and maybe he's humbled by it and feels a little bit, you know, he's blushing, but at the same time, he's like, man, I need this encouragement to keep going. Timothy, an example of service. And secondly, Epaphroditus, an example of sacrifice. So again, I have to admit, I was kind of caught off guard with this passage this week. See, what do you mean by that? Well, Philippians has what I call many Hall of Fame verses. Like if you look at chapter 2 and 3 alone, okay? Chapter 2, humiliation, exaltation of Christ. Those are Hall of Fame verses, man. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a Hall of Fame verse. Now, I know God's word, all of God's word is Hall of Fame, right? I get that, right? But certain verses the church has held up. In chapter 3, indeed I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. In my world, that's a Hall of Fame verse. Later on in chapter 3, our theme verse, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. That's a Hall of Fame verse for me. Many of you probably memorized Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ. That's a Hall of Fame verse, man. But surrounded in all of this and tucked in the middle of these Hall of Fame verses is our passage today. It's almost a passage. You forget it's even there. And yet here we are right now, and I was caught off guard as you look into it and you study it. And once again, you're like, man, God's word is amazing. It's just amazing. It's teaching you things you weren't expecting or you didn't even know were there. For instance, verse 25, chapter 2. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, notice, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. The honor, it continues. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Why is Epaphroditus distressed that the church might know that he was ill, that they might worry about him? He's not concerned for himself. He's concerned that they might worry that he is ill. Verse 27, indeed, he was ill near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. See the intimacy between Paul and Epaphroditus? There is so much genuine love here. Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, that I may be less anxious. Look at verse 30 now. For he nearly died, we'll come back to verse 29. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So we pulled out some phrases to describe Timothy. The titles that Epaphroditus carries, they're as clear as day. Can you see them? Look at specifically verse 25. Notice Paul says, my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. Let's break these down. When Paul says, like, they're not just phrases he's throwing out there for fun. My brother. Now, think family, but think like family in the Lord. Now, think also the difference of saying this, my brother, my sister in the Lord, and living this. Notice the intimacy here. Again, it's amazing. Notice the word my. See the word my brother? Like that, again, Paul's not throwing that out for fun. Like he means it. Timothy, Epaphroditus, my brother. Like he's looking at him as a genuine brother and fellow worker. Notice the commitment he states towards him. Then notice verse 27 again. He says, I would have sorrow upon sorrow if something happened to Epaphroditus. He loves this man. Okay, just step back a little bit and just look at verse 25 and just pause for a second. Oh, that we would have brothers and sisters that we could treasure in the same way. I want to point out this too. Paul can't have 50 Epaphrodituses. He can't have 50 of them. I mean, how do you possibly maintain that level of intimacy with so many people? But he can have a couple. In this case, he can have a Paul, he can have a Timothy, and he can have an Epaphroditus. And I'm telling you, loved ones, when you find a brother or sister in the Lord, anywhere near this intimacy, you thank the Lord for that. I mean, loved ones, you might have one or two, in a rare case, three, I don't know. But they're few and far between, but when you have them, they are treasures, and that you could be a treasure to them as well. I mean, just take a moment right now, and some of you have people on your mind, you thank the Lord that God has given you such gifts. And some of you don't have that right now. A lot of men isolate themselves or are afraid of relationship with different reasons. I'm telling you, if we're afraid of this, we are missing out on major portions of life in Christ. We can't survive without Timothy's and Epaphroditus's. I'm so thankful. I think in my life, you think of, you know, brothers in the Lord who give you grace when you deserve it not, who are patient with you when you deserve it not, who show you compassion and just love you when you need it most. That's such a gift. That is such a gift. He says, my brother, he says this, he says, my fellow worker. So Epaphroditus, man, he's like on the inner circle of Paul's work for the gospel here. It's not a clique, man. It's just a special thing going on. He's a trusted and true companion. And notice why, again, verse 30, he almost died, it says, for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And what is more precious than being partners in the gospel? You know, in chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says that we are partners in the gospel. Ever since we preached that several weeks ago, I've been ever reminded of the reality and of our partnership in the gospel. It's so beautiful. a little bit of pastoral transparency for you and just want to be committed to that. And in recent months, man, I just in a weakened state. I just want you to know, man, I don't know what you perceive as you watch me or listen to me from where you are and I'm up here. I just want you to know, man, I'm struggling more often than not, fighting my way through this life in Christ, trying to cling to the Lord and trying to keep a life of prayer, trying to be an example. At times I feel like such a failure as a dad and a failure as a husband and a failure as a leader and just fighting for that and just here and just struggling away and just saying, man, and Jesus comes, that's going to be good. I just want you to know that. That's just reality. It's not the right thing to say right now. It's just true. It's just true. It's tough, man. As you know, it's a battle, as we're going to see in just a moment here too, right? Now, why do I say that? Because I've never been more aware than of the partners we have in the gospel. And you look around in this church and you see the hundreds and hundreds of beautiful, choice saints serving the Lord. And there are few things more precious than to know you're not alone. And to look at people doing things you could never do, ever. Not gifted to do it, don't have the strength to do it, not smart enough to do it. But they're doing it because God has equipped them to do it. Praise God. What a blessing that is. And that's how God has designed it to be. Hundreds and hundreds of men, women, and yes, children joining together and serving together as workers for the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember just recently walking by one of the classes we're doing and seeing volunteers who have been teaching this class for so many years, almost to the point it's like a full-time job for them. Volunteered the entire way and with joy and with love and the impact. And I walked by that room and I looked in there and I was filled with the presence of God to love them in that moment, to thank them so sincerely for how they are used by the Lord at this time. There are few better feelings than that right there. And you just mean it. And how many people I could say that to right now in this room? What a blessing. Paul gets this, you see, he gets this. He's in prison, he's looking at Epaphroditus. He's like, I'm so thankful for Epaphroditus. Church, you also be thankful for Epaphroditus. He says, my brother, my fellow worker. And then he says this, fellow soldier. Isn't that interesting? Why would he say soldier? Well, because if you're truly gonna serve Christ and work for Christ, you're gonna endure spiritual warfare. You're going to have to be a soldier. What does a soldier do? He fights a battle. He's in a war. You're going to suffer. You're going to get hurt. In war, people get hurt. In war, some people are called to die. The true Christian life is not a cakewalk. It's a battlefield. You know, I've always said life before Christ is so much easier. I mean, it was dead and meaningless. But who's kidding you? Life before Christ, man, it was just easier. I didn't remotely think about most of my life, I don't even think about things now. But then in Christ, man, Chamber, listen, in Christ is so much better. Amen, church? It's so much better, but it is not easier. The easy, wide road is the world's way. Jesus says it's narrow and hard. That's why we're called to be soldiers. Soldiers. And see how grateful Paul is for the soldiers that join him. We feel the battle. We feel the war raging. We sense the burden, the weight, and the fight. Again, a little bit of transparency for you here right now, too. I just, you know, sometimes my wife has watched kind of my life over these 15 years or whatever, 20 years, almost full-time ministry. And hear me when I say this, okay? But she'll watch sometimes things that no one ever sees. And she'll say, as I watch you go through this life, it's hard for me to wish that upon our own children. Now listen, we know the right theological answer to what was just said, and God will do what God will do. But when you see the reality, and you can look and you can say, oh, look at this, it's so nice in this country living, da, 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 da. But the reality is, if you're really called to serve Christ, if you're really called to give your life for him, you are going to be called to die. And it will come in many ways that no one will ever see. And that's just the reality. That's just what goes on for every one of us who's called this, not just some guy standing up here, every single one of us and where we are. But it's interesting as you continue to weigh this life and what is happening and the burdens and the wars and the opposition and the battles. It just makes sense to me. And Paul's sitting here and he's so thankful for those around him. Because when you're in the bunker and you're in the trenches and the bullets are flying overhead and the bombs are crashing beside you, and you're sitting there, you feel hopeless, you're exhausted, you don't think you can go on, you wonder if you're gonna die in this moment, but then you are holding your spiritual weapon and you look beside you each way and you see there's men and women beside you who are there with you, and that's a good feeling. You're just like, oh, I'm not alone. Look at this, there's people. In fact, there's hundreds of people in this trench as the bullets are, and some are getting up and rushing right into the battle to use their spiritual weapon against those who are coming against. That is an awesome encouragement. That is the body of Christ. That is what Paul is describing right here when he says, my fellow soldier. This isn't just cute language, man. It's real. It's real. And I think of fellow soldiers strongly led this week. And again, this passage kind of caught me off guard. Again, it amazed me. Jesus Christ is the head of this church, the only head of this church. But it is right to honor such men and women, who those who want to honor Jesus Christ, and even taking some time right now to honor our elders in this church, particularly our non-vocational elders. You want to talk about brothers and workers and soldiers for the gospel? You want to talk about sacrifice and selflessness and service? You know, most of you have no idea what our non-vocational elders give in this church, and you couldn't know. It's not supposed to be known. But just behind the scenes, the effort, the sacrifice here in this church, the time away from family, serving church plants here and there, on and on and on and on and on. Incredible, incredible men in my mind. The way they love this church, the way they love your pastor and staff, the way they love the Lord, the way they love you, it's amazing. It's amazing. Often unseen, but seen by the Lord. And church, I just say, and I just beg you, would you please keep praying for your elders? I beg you, please keep praying. Because the only way this happens is by the Lord. Whether it's you or me or anyone in between, the only way this happens is the Lord. And so with all the sincerity I can muster in this moment, I just pray we sense that we feel that we are in this together, and asking the Lord to lead and to guide and to strengthen and to encourage as we see Timothy an example of service and Epaphroditus an example of sacrifice. And I just want to end here, point number three. Honor such men and women. Look at verse 29, right? So Paul's kind of moving in this direction. He takes Epaphroditus. He says these imperatives. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, with all joy, with all joy. Look at that. Like when you see Epaphroditus in the Lord, have joy. And then he says, and honor such men. So this is how this has hit me this week. And I want everything I'm saying to be carried and the intention it's supposed to be, how this hit me this week. Our church holds such a high value of humility. And when I say that, I'll speak for myself, okay? I'm not humble, but I believe in it. And we believe in humility wins, with pride you lose. So we have such a high value of seeking to pursue the goal of humility within our church. But I think sometimes we're so much about that we're afraid to honor anyone. Now, maybe I think I'm the most to blame for this. And listen, the only one who deserves glory and praise is Jesus. Like that is a given. What I'm seeing in the text this week, and the Lord's wrestling with me, Paul is so excited to hold up Timothy and Epaphroditus because they're so much about Jesus. And so he knows that there's such a protection that he says, honor them that they may honor Christ. Like they're the ones giving the gospel. They're the ones working for Christ. So then encourage them they may continue to work for Christ, and that Jesus Christ might be able to see more lives change, and that he might continue to work. So it's just the one doesn't disqualify the other. You don't honor those who honor themselves, but the ability to honor those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and are used by him, that's a blessing. That is what's here. This is what Paul's doing, because there's so much at stake. And again, Timothy, a servant of the gospel, Epaphroditus, who's giving his life for the work of Jesus Christ. Receive them with joy and honor such men and women. Again, who in this season we're in, who can we honor, servants of the gospel? There are some that are praying behind closed doors, honoring them, some who are serving capacities that are maybe never seen. Oh, that they would be honored and just encouraged and loved. Some precious, precious saints, even now, the Lord knows. And may the Lord send to you messengers of love and grace. You think about this, okay? We end here. Why would Epaphroditus give his life for Jesus Christ? Why would he risk his life for Christ? It says there at the end, for the work of Christ. Here's why. Because Jesus Christ gave his entire life for Epaphroditus. This trio, these three musketeers here, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. What's up with these guys? Look at them. I mean, such incredible examples, such imperfect people, and yet serving Christ. It's because they all came to the awareness that Jesus has given them everything in his shed blood and his resurrection from the dead. They are saved and alive in Jesus Christ. If you are here right now, you give your heart to Jesus Christ, you too will be washed clean from all your sin, and you will be raised to newness of life. You will never, ever die again. That's the whole point of why Jesus came. You trust in him, you confess him as Lord and Savior, and you too shall be saved, the Bible says, knowing that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, all men taken up with the gospel and the love and the person of Christ, and from that point on, they say, we want to give our whole lives to this man. Our whole lives, to the point of death, they give their lives to the service of Jesus Christ. Such an example for us. And so we honor Timothy and honor Paul and honor Epaphroditus today as they seek to honor Christ and see us do the same. So what an opportunity. So many things we can take from this today. Lord, would you make my life like that? Lord, could I be an example worth imitating? God, would you forgive my sin where I haven't been? Would you use me? Would you lead me? We're going to end the service today by singing that hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, written by Francis Havergal. I just want you to listen here for a second, okay? Francis Havergal died at age 42, multiple health problems. Do you know the story behind this hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be? Most of you will know this hymn. She was traveling to a place to visit some friends for 5 days. There was 10 people there. As she came upon this place where there's 10 people, some were saved, some were not saved. Those that were saved were often joyless Christians, she said. She came to this house for these 5 days, and the prayer the Lord gave her was this, Lord, give me the whole house. Let me have an impact and blessing upon every person in this house. She says and testifies, the Lord did just that. In some form, in some way, and she doesn't give detail how it happened, she was able to be a blessing to all 10 people in the house. To the point, on her last night there, she was so overwhelmed by the goodness and grace of God. She was so filled with a sense of renewal and beauty of what the Lord had done within her life. She spent most of the night awake, singing praises to God, and she said couplets came to her heart and mind over and over again until it ended with, ever only all for thee. That's how this hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be, was written. A woman so determined to be an influence of spiritual measure on other people's lives. I love that prayer. Lord, give me the whole house. That's awesome. And God did. And every person was impacted. And she lay there awake, rejoicing in Christ. And this hymn that we have now sung for decades was written in the wee hours of the night by a woman who loved her Savior so much. And now we honor her as she honors Christ.
Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.